Welcome back to the Finnsiders, and welcome to the 6 o'clock hour here. Greg Likens alongside Troy Stratford, OJ McDuffie, Tristan Jones in the Metro PCS Common Center. You can join the chat online with her at Dolphins.com. You can join us by texting the show at 347-347 or giving us a call 1-855-GO-FINS. But guys, before we get into anything, we're going to go to the NFL spring meetings in Atlanta. We're going to go to the Metro PCS hotline, bring in Ian Rappaport, National Insider for NFL Network and NFL.com. Ian, thanks for joining us this evening. How are you doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
We're doing well, and again, we appreciate the time. And so lots of news to pop out today. A one-day meeting for all the owners to get together. The thing that was catching the most news was Super Bowl 52 in 2018 awarded to Minneapolis. And we were debating this earlier, as we are obviously down here in South Florida very invested and used to having Super Bowls come down here. But it seems that the Super Bowl bids are all about stadiums, renovations or new stadiums. Is that what you're getting from the owners in terms of why they gave this particular Super Bowl to Minneapolis?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly seems like the days of a rotation of just a couple cities, it sounds like that's all over. And you know, I feel like maybe that's the way it should be. You know, Super Bowls are now rewards for building new stadiums, for receiving public money to do so, and for, you know, sort of spreading the wealth a little bit and letting cities like Minneapolis, which a couple years ago, you know, you'd never think a cold weather city would be able to host a Super Bowl. Well, now they can. They have a beautiful new indoor stadium they're building. And, you know, it's certainly something that probably opened the eyes for a lot of cities and teams and places considering building stadiums or about to build stadiums, like Atlanta, for instance, or, you know, teams that are looking at making significant improvements to their current stadium, like the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Ian, because assuming the reports are true and Stephen Ross is going to go through with the stadium upgrades, Miami's expected to bid for the Super Bowl in 2019. How realistic of a shot will Miami have in securing that, assuming all this goes through and takes place?
Well, I think the biggest competitor they would have would be the city of Atlanta. You know, they did a groundbreaking of their new stadium last night. It will be in its, I believe, second year by, you know, 2019. And as we learned with Minnesota, you know, building a new stadium is incentive and something that has consistently drawn a Super Bowl to that city. So I think Atlanta would be in a really good position to get it. But, you know, obviously it's not coming. The Super Bowl is not coming back to South Florida without improvements. That has been clear. So once, you know, improvements are made, enhancements are made, then South Florida is very much back on the table. And the past has shown how much the NFL likes to have a Super Bowl there. So I think it would be in the mix for certainly very much so in the future.
Ian, I see they've tabled the playoff expansion, it seems like, to some time later in this year right here. But considering that they moved the draft back this year and they're probably going to move it to once again in May, does it appear that they're making room for an expansion in the playoffs from what you've seen?
Well, you know, I'm not sure that expansion in the playoffs would extend the season at all. What it sounds like is that there would be, you know, basically two extra games during that first playoff week, which would include a Monday night game, but would keep the season right on schedule. And, you know, I think something which may alter the season more would be the reduction in the preseason, which is also very much on the table beginning in 2015. You know, those two things would not have to be in concert with one another, but certainly could. And, you know, I could see reducing the preseason be something that it really picks up steam kind of heading into next year, which obviously would alter the calendar. You know, as far as the draft, they put together a committee to look at all different parts of the draft. You know, how long is it going to be? Where is it going to be? What is the structure going to be like? All those things are on the table as you know, the NFL waits to the end of the month until they hear back from Radio City on its schedule for next year.
Ian, I don't know if this was discussed up there, but the word is AT&T is about to purchase DirecTV, and we know that DirecTV has the Sunday Ticket. Do you have any foresight into where the future of television in the National Football League is headed? I don't know. Will we have to pay to watch games, or is there anything out there that we're just not privy of right now?
I don't believe you would. I think the certainly been clear, and you know, Roger Goodell has said, I mean, the league benefits from having the public, you know, be able to see games from being on free TV. You know, as far as the DirecTV deal, you know, that will work itself out. You know, right now the NFL is in the exclusive negotiating period for, you know, for their Sunday ticket in Red Zone and all that. You know, but I don't foresee a situation where that would happen.
Ian Rappaport, National Insider for NFL Network and NFL.com, joining us here on the Metro PCS Hotline on the Finsiders. And Ian, you mentioned the committee that's being put together to talk about the NFL draft. There's been it's been widely reported that they could be on the move from out of New York City. What are you hearing about that, and could we see it go kind of city to city, and maybe we'll have bids for not only the Super Bowl but also for the draft every year?
Yeah, I could see all of that, actually. And, you know, I think moving the draft from New York is very much on the table. Now, I don't know what form it's going to be like. Maybe you have the draft in two different cities. Maybe you put it in L.A., Chicago. You know, Green Bay is trying to have a piece of the draft. It is, all of a sudden, it's the kind of thing where if you put it up for grabs, then you really find out how much interest there is. And what we've learned is there is a lot of interest in hosting the draft and changing it up a little bit. And, you know, historically it's been a radio city, but historically a lot of things have happened, and eventually they all get changed. So I think it's all on the table, which is kind of cool because the interest is very clear. It was more popular this year than ever. And, you know, we'll see where it ends up. But, again, we should know a lot based on the flexibility of next year's schedule at Radio City, you know, within about a month or so.
And as we all know, you know, this is a quarterback-driven league, and you look at the playoffs and all the quarterbacks in the playoffs were very talented guys, and we always want to talk about our guy down here and going into his third year. We saw improvement from year one to year two under Mike Sherman as offense coordinator. Now we're going into year three with Ryan Tannehill at the quarterback. How do you think, if you can help me, Bill Lazor can help in his development in year three, which I think is a critical year for Ryan Tannehill and the Miami Dolphins?
Certainly a critical year. I would agree with that. And I would also agree that, you know, we've seen improvements since he's gotten the league. I feel like this year will be a big step forward for him, mostly because, well, the offensive line is going to be better, so that helps. I mean, that's, you know, you want to go out and spend money in free agency, go out and make sure your quarterback is protected. I liked, you know, what the Dolphins did there, signing the, you know, premier left tackle on the market and Brandon Albert. But I think Bill Lazor is going to, you know, really make a big difference. I think by the end of Mike Sherman's run, it certainly didn't seem like he was reaching the team at all, wasn't protecting the quarterback nearly enough. That wasn't a focus as it should have been throughout. So I really like the hire, and no one is going to benefit more than Ryan Tannehill. And look, by the end of this year, we'll know what his future holds. I think it'll be good things, but either way, we'll have a pretty solid answer after a three-year resume.
Ian Rappaport joining us here, National Insider for NFL Network and on NFL.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Rapsheet. Great information for everything going on across the National Football League. I wanted to wrap it up with this, Ian, is when you take a look at social media and the policy across the league, the Dolphins have you know, had to deal with this more recently in terms of what they did with Don Jones, but just more generally in the league circles that you're talking to, what are teams doing as far as their approach in handling sensitive issues that players are talking about on Twitter and social media as it's becoming more and more prevalent in our society?
Well, you know, it's definitely something teams are tackling, and it's something that college teams are tackling too. I mean, I definitely heard several prospects who fell in the draft. Some of it was because of their use of social media. Too much. What did they tweet? How much are they out there? You know, you can start to say, well, how much is he into football if he's tweeting about all these other things? I mean, it sounds ridiculous on some levels, but this is what people are wondering as you look at every aspect of players who are about to be drafted. But as far as NFL teams, you know, they're certainly looking at ways to kind of make it, to make players a little more aware. And I think, you know, when you talk to teams about that, that's the message, is people are reading. You're representing yourself and your team when you're tweeting. So you just really just need to keep that in mind. I mean, sending a tweet is not like sending a text to your friend. And players should know that. And if they don't, then unfortunately sometimes they need to find out in some harsh ways.
For all the latest news and analysis from around the NFL, check out NFL Total Access. It airs Monday through Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on NFL Network. Ian, thank you very much for joining us here on the Finsiders. Appreciate your insight. We look forward to catching up with you down the road.
All right. Thanks, guys.